Koti Vaishnavinda ki jai, Nama Charja Sridha Haridas Thakur ki jai, Prem Sikaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sadi, Gaur Bhaktavinda ki jai, Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gokopinath, Sham Kund Radha Kundagiri Govardhan ki jai, Vrindavan Tham ki jai, Nabadvip Tham ki jai, Jagannath Puri ki jai, Ganga Mai ki jai, Shamana Mai ki jai, Tulsi Devi ki jai, Bhakti Devi ki jai, Samaveta Bhakta Brinda ki jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. Gaur Premanande. What time do we go till?
We go till 9, but question and answer included.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Srimad Bhagavatam 2:10:33. Etad Bhagavato Rupam Stulam Te Yahritam Maya Mahi Adibish, Savaranair, Ashtapir, Prahir, Abhrutam, Etad Bhagavato Rupam, Stulam Te Vyahritam Maya, Mahyadibhish Chavaranar, Ashtapir Bahir Abhrutam.
Of the personality of Godhead.
Rupam,
form.
Stulam,
gross.
Hey,
unto you.
Yahritam,
explained.
Maya,
by me.
Mahi,
the planets.
Adipihi,
and so on.
Cha,
unlimitedly.
Avaranaihi,
by coverings.
Ashtabhi,
by eight.
Bahihi,
external.
Avritam,
covered.
Thus,
by all this,
the external feature
of the personality of Godhead
is covered by
gross forms,
such as
those of planets,
which were
explained to you
by me.
Purport.
As
explained in the
Bhagavad Gita
7.4,
the
separated
material energy
of the personality
of Godhead
is covered
by
eight kinds of
material
coverings:
earth,
water,
fire,
air,
sky,
mind,
intelligence,
and
false ego.
All
these are
emanations
from the personality
of Godhead
as
his external
energy. These coverings are just like the covering of clouds for the sun. The cloud is a creation of the sun, yet it actually covers the eyes so that one cannot see the sun. The sun cannot be covered by the clouds. The cloud can at utmost extend a few hundred miles, a few hundreds of miles in the sky. But the sun is far greater than millions of miles. So a 100-mile covering is not competent to cover millions of miles. Therefore, one of the various energies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot, of course, cover the Lord. But these coverings are created by him to cover the eyes of the conditioned souls who want to lord it over the material nature. Actually, the conditioned souls are covered by the illusory creative cloud of matter, and the Lord reserves the right of not being exposed to their eyes. Because they have no eyes of transcendental vision, and because they cannot see the personality of Godhead, they therefore deny the existence of the Lord and the transcendental form of the Lord. The covering of the gigantic material feature is accepted by such men with a poor fund of knowledge, and how this is so is explained in the following verse.
Om Ajnana Timirantasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurn Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mahyam Tathati Sapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatapada Kamanam, Shri Gurum Vaishnavamsa, Shri Rupam Sadrashatam, Sahagana Gaganatan Vitam Stam Sajivam, Sadvaitam Sadvatutam, Parijana Sahitam, Krishna Chaitanya Devam, Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lolita Shri Vishakhan Vitamstra He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Vandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kopatarubhyascha Kripa Sindho Pyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Shri Gopaktarinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama Rama Rama, Hare Hare
Etad bhagavato rupam stulam te vyakritam maya mahyadi bhischa varanair ashtabhir bahiravritam. The personality of Godhead is being described in terms of the material energy. Stulam rupam, a gross form. Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead, has a transcendental form, Sachidananda Vigraha. But here his form is elaborated in terms of the gross material energy. the materialist can't go beyond the gross material energy, but they're induced to think of the material energy in terms of the form of the Lord. Their Bhagavatam guides them, that you think of the Lord this way. The mountains are his bones, the rivers are his veins, and so on. In this way, the mind becomes purified so that one becomes freed from material contamination and can come to the point of understanding the personality of Godhead. Etad bhagavato rupam stulam te vyahritam maya. I've explained all of these things to you. Mahi aribhis cha varanaya. The universal form of the Lord, the gross form of the Lord, has eight material coverings. Bhumir apo nalo vayu kam mano buddhire vacha ahankara itiyam me binna prakatirashtira. Earth, water, fire, ether, mind, intelligence, and ahankar, false ego. Elsewhere we learn in the fifth canto that these coverings are progressively greater. First there's a covering of earth, then there's a covering of water, then there's a covering of fire. Each one, ten times the depth of the previous covering. And the first covering is 10 times the diameter of the leaf, something like that. So enormous coverings of the universe. These are called avaranas, coverings. In the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Gop Kumar travels through each of these coverings, meets each of its presiding deities. So these are the material coverings referred to, Ashtabhi Bahiravratam. Eight coverings. Srila Prabhupada explains that the coverings really cover us. We have to see the Lord this way because we're covered. Not that Krishna is covered. What can this material energy do? Mayadhyakshena prakriti suyate. Satra Ashram, the whole material energy is working under Krishna's control. And it's certainly not capable to cover the Lord. But, what is that? Naham Prakasha Sarvasya Yoga Maya Samavrita Mudho Yam Navijanati. The mudhas, that's us, are prevented from seeing the personality of Godhead by the agency of his yogamaya. Yogamaya means the Lord's internal potency, but within the internal potency is the external potency. The external potency is the subdivision or the expansion of the internal potency. Finally, everything is internal potency. The Lord is complete, and by his internal potency, Swarup Shakti, he does everything. But then that internal potency further manifests itself as external energy, marginal energy. Srila Prabhupada gives the example that we have electricity, and the electrician uses it to heat, to cool, to drive your car, whatever it's going to be. Although really it's one energy. So finally, Krishna has one energy, but vividhaiva shriyate. He has innumerable energies, where his one energy, his one self, manifests itself in innumerable forms. Vasudeva sarvamiti, Krishna is everything. So Krishna means Krishna with his energies, and the energies are diverse. Mayavadis deny this picture. They deny that the absolute truth could have energies, because then you don't have the homogeneous oneness that they have in mind as the only valid realization of the absolute truth. They only have impersonal, undifferentiated oneness, and therefore they can't explain why the material energy exists, why we're covered by that energy, except to say that it's an illusion. We're not really covered, we only think we're covered. There's not really, Maya really doesn't exist, it only has the appearance of existing. But they can't explain where that appearance, what enforces that appearance. If there's only oneness, why, how could there be this second entity enforcing illusion, enforcing upon us the illusion that there's more than oneness? So they run into serious problems in that way. But the Vaishnavas accept that the personality of Godhead has innumerable energies, and those energies act in different ways to reveal Krishna, to conceal Krishna, to accomplish everything. His energies are acting, and the material energy is acting under his control, so it can't cover Krishna. Prabhupada's example, the cloud is a creation of the sun, but it can't cover the sun. So Krishna can't be covered by Maya, which is another problem with the incarnations of God. The human beings who declare themselves incarnations or declare that we're all God. We're all God, but we don't realize it because we're covered by illusion. And as soon as that illusion is dispelled, we'll realize that we're God. But how did I become covered? If I'm God, how did I become covered by illusion? Then illusion becomes greater than God. Now they run into that problem. They also run into a further problem, that actually I'm God and you're God. As your guru, I have to teach you that you're God. You just haven't realized it. But if we're all one, and I realize that you're God, then you should have realized that you're God also. In fact, everyone should have realized that they're God, because there's no difference between any of us and any of the rest of us. So if even one person realizes that he's God, then everyone should have realized that they're God. But that doesn't seem to have happened. So we have a problem. We have a problem. And the problem is that our philosophy doesn't work, and it's irreparable. Nothing can be done. And therefore, when something is irreparably broken, it's meant to be junked. So the impersonalist philosophy is discarded by the Vaishnavas, and the materialistic philosophy, that there's nothing more than matter, is also discarded. The Kaviraj Goswami calls that the philosophy of the nipples on the goat's neck. The goats, you may have seen, have these nipples on their neck. If you think you can milk them, that's wild. So the material energy doesn't give rise to consciousness. Najayate mriyate va kadachin. Consciousness has no beginning and no end. No one has created a conscious living being, or given even a reasonable picture of how a living being could be created. They'd like to emulate living beings through silicon and digital technology. That also they can do, they can emulate, but emulate is different from be. We may emulate Krishna's example. That doesn't make us Krishna. I may emulate Abraham Lincoln. That doesn't make me Abraham Lincoln. So we may have computers that emulate conscious living beings, but that doesn't make them conscious. Sataputta Prabhu has elaborated this in his article, The Computerized Mr. Jones, where he quite thoroughly shows the defects of the materialistic idea that there's nothing more than matter. So the picture we get from Bhagavad Gita, there's matter, then there's what Prabhupada calls the separated energies of the Lord, the Vibhinamsha, the living beings, we're struggling with the material energy. And then there's the personality of Godhead, who's the controller of all energies. So these things we need to hear from Srimad Bhagavatam. And in the higher stage, we can understand the personality of Godhead in his Satchidananda Vigraha. And there's the opportunity for direct service to the Lord, for transcendental exchanges for the Lord with the Lord, for developing love for the Lord. All of these things become possible. But first we have to get free from material identification with our own bodies, from identifying the material energy as everything. From one point of view, the ecologists might be seen as serving the Lord indirectly. They value the earth, and so they want to preserve the earth or whatever. But first of all, it's a very stula, gross conception of divinity. And second of all, their real intention is to exploit that divine manifestation, to enjoy the earth. So we're not the enjoyers, we're the servants of the enjoyers, of the enjoyer. And these things, gradually, we can hope to realize. All right, let me stop here. Are there some questions, some comments? Yes, Kurnath Prabhu.
Maharaj, I've always had a little bit of trouble conceiving that how the universal egg is covered by, a 10 times larger covering of earth and then water. When it gets to fire, I start to think, how is the fire extended? But when it gets beyond the gross elements, mind, intelligence, and ego, how can we say how large they are? It confuses me to think, that, well, how is it 10 times larger than ether?
It's not that these things can't have extent. We have water. It's finer than earth, but still it has extent. The air has extent. So here also, the mind is described as having extent, particularly when you get to primordial mind. Mm. We have minds that float around and can't be localized or identified as belonging to a particular particular locality. But there's a primordial substance mind, like the warehouse. We have earth. You pick up a brick, that's earth. And then there's sort of a warehouse of all earth. The original supply source. So that's the covering of earth, or the element earth manifested by Krishna. So then for mind also, for intelligence also, these things are there.
But like earth and water, they're within ether. Within expansive space that has that kind of dimension that we measure with yardsticks and things. Mm. But mind and ego and things that they seem beyond that. So are we talking figuratively of the extent? How are we talking about the extent if we're not talking about their existence in ether?
It gets pretty, it gets more than ethereal, doesn't it? We're given that it's for that matter, the universal form. How are we supposed to understand exactly that the rivers are his veins or the mountains are his bones? How are the bones put together? How are they connected to the, how is the spine connected to the pelvis and so on? If you try to nail it down that much, you lose the point. You say to your wife, your face is like the moon. Well, you know, how far are we going to take that? You know, is there a man in the moon? Is there, are there pockmarks? Are there lunar craters? Are there, are there moon landings? Are there, you know, what exactly goes on? If we try to nail it down into those kind of particulars, we lose the essential message about the beauty of my wife's face. So it has to be understood as a whole. Another example, people, they want to know, in his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, what does his divine grace mean? What's divine refer to? What's grace refer to? You can't do that. You can't do that. It's not grammatically divisible into parts that you put together and make sense of by some grammatical analysis. It's an entity unto itself, his divine grace. That epithet has to be understood as a whole, and you can't really break it down and say his. Well, whose divine grace is it? You know, devotees grammatically want to know that. Whose divine grace? No, it works as a whole. So if we take it too far, we lose the point. He's honored, he's great, and so on. So we have to understand these coverings. They're greater by that much. But we're already lost when we got to Earth. We can't imagine that much Earth. The dimensions just assigned to just the first covering. Mahi Adi Bhi. The earth, and so on. Mahi Adi Bhi. But we can't even get past first base, as they say. We can't really understand the covering of earth. And the covering of water. You know, why doesn't it spill over? The covering of fire, why doesn't the inner edge get put out by the water? Or why doesn't the fire on that edge dry up the water? If we, you know, our minds are just not up to the task, we're not going to understand these things. As Shukadeva Goswami told Pariksit Maharaj, even if you had a lifetime of Brahma, you wouldn't understand all this. So we have to pick up the idea as a whole. And also understand that we need to get past all this too. This is just the gross stuff. So we need to pick up the idea and follow it, you know, delve into it as far as we can, but also acknowledge our limitations, that just the material energy itself is inconceivable, practically speaking. And so when you speak of God, you know, you say he's inconceivable. Ah, that's a cop-out. No, even the material energy is inconceivable. We can't even figure that out. The material nature is past us. So why should God be less? We can't even wrap our heads around, as the expression goes these days, material energy.
Thank you.
Thank you, thank you.
I have a question about the verse. I'll read the verse again. Thus, by all this, the external feature of the personality of Godhead is covered by gross forms, such as those of planets, which were explained to you by me. I know it's just elaborating on what you just said, we can't elaborate on, but it's in the verse. It seems the external feature is something separate from what it's being covered by, the gross forms, such as those of planets.
Yeah, we get a little, I also was looking at that, the grammar gets a little perplexing. But from what we read elsewhere in Srimad Bhagavatam, it appears that there's this gigantic form, and its shell, if you will, its external covering, are these eight layers. That's the picture we get. I think the painting was done like that also. I think the original painting done in Second Canto shows a universal form like that with its coverings. So the idea is what we hear from Bhagavatam and from Brihad Bhagavatamrita and so on. So there's all this stuff going on, the planets and all the universal manifestations. And then once you go past all that, then you're going to get to these eight coverings.
And those are all Krishna too, just as you brought up in the purport about the cloud being created by the sun. And then the purport kind of ends with a cliffhanger. I was wondering if you were going to get into that. But.
No, I'm not going to get into that. That's tomorrow.
Okay, cliffhanger.
Except that, well, as a preview, there's going to be the impersonal feature of the Lord described next. That's what comes next. There's the impersonal feature. And then that's rejected because beyond that is the personality of God. Yes. Tamohar Prabhu.
Thank you very much, Maharaj, for coming here and having a very, very nice class. And I think you explained very nicely that there's a certain point where some of these concepts are just beyond what our material mind and intelligence can really understand. And I was thinking there's actually an established philosophical term that we have for that. It's called the Chinta Shakti. Mm-hmm. And Krishna, that's one of the energies that is often mentioned in our literatures. That Krishna has a chinta shakti, which means it is inconceivable. And I was thinking even the very foundation, the metaphysical foundation where philosophy is a chinta beta, you know, tattva, it's inconceivable to begin with. And it doesn't mean that we can't understand to some degree, but it means that with our material mind senses, it's just beyond it. You know?
Yeah. A chinta means not able to be thought of. Not able to, not amenable to thought. We can think about it, of course, but we can't expect to fully grasp it. It's inconceivable. What is that? Achincha kalo ye bhava tarkena yogiye? Natams tarkena yogiye. Prabhupada paraphrases that, I think, his Ishopanishad introduction, by saying that there's no use arguing about that which is inconceivable, because it's inconceivable. Tarko Pratishtanat. It's not, logic doesn't cover it. People, you know, want to get very logical about everything, and that's, you know, there's space for that, there's utility for that. But it's also logical that at a certain point, logic is not going to serve us anymore, that we have to go beyond logic. And thank you for that. Yes.
Haribol Maharaj. So this is a scientific one, right? The scientists are saying that they can actually see 95 billion light years away. And all they can see are planets and suns and moons, but there's no vision of any universe around.
I mean, there's no vision of what?
All they're seeing are planets, suns, moons, but no universe. No universe they can see.
universe.
Yeah, within 95 billion light years. Of
okay, they say that they can see with their telescopes for however many light years, and they don't see, I'm not quite sure what they
any universe.
Any universe. Shells. Yeah, they don't see what we see, that's for sure. They're not going to take their Hale telescope or whatever it is and say, well, yes, we took your book and we looked in every direction. We did a thorough search. And I'm sorry, sir, but there's no covering of earth or water. This is all. Yeah. No, they're not going to get it. Their instruments are gross and limited. They're not going to be able to see these things. And what to speak of seeing spirit and or the spiritual sky, that's beyond their jurisdiction. What is that in the beginning? Amanitva adambitva himsa. They're different items for the cultivation of knowledge. And the beginning is humility. Without humility, one can't really get knowledge. So a true scientist is a humble scientist. He's not a puffed up egotist who thinks that he can understand everything by virtue of the training that he got at MIT or UC Berkeley or something. He's not such a fool. And if I just get enough education, or if I get a large enough grant and enough grad students working under me, I'll understand everything. He's humble. There's so much that I don't know. Even from one point of view, that's what makes a great scientist. The 10th-rate scientists are the ones who figure that they sort of understand everything. And anything that doesn't fit, that's just an anomaly. It's just an anomaly. That explains it. It's an anomaly. It all happens by chance. That explains it. That's a crummy scientist. He knows so much that he can't look at the data. He knows so much that he can't look at data that doesn't fit what he knows. It can't exist. There's a story that there were two farmers, like Midwestern farmers, at a fair, and somehow at the fair there was a camel. And they'd never seen it, an animal like that. And they're looking at it and looking at it and looking at it and looking at it. And finally the one says to the other, "There ain't no such critter." So the best scientists see there's so much that we don't know. So they're open to anomalies, and they're the ones who discover things, x-rays and what have you. You don't just write it off, can't exist, it's not possible. But that's what the 10th-rate scientists do, anything that's paranormal, anything that doesn't fit their preconceptions can't exist. Consciousness can't exist separately because we cannot find any mechanism by which consciousness possibly could exist separately. You know, if we don't understand how it could be there, then it can't be there. So this all reflects lack of humility. The best scientists are humble. Therefore, there are so many theistic scientists. Yes.
Marsh?
Oh, yes. Yes, yes.
Excuse me.
Where are you?
Thank you, Maharaj, for coming again to New Ramanreti. Did you say that each of the layers has a presiding deity?
Yes.
Can you give an example?
Well, yes, every one of them. Earth has a presiding deity, the deity of Earth. She's Of course, Bhumi is our presiding deity. But when Gop Kumar goes to the through these layers, he meets each deity. And the deity offers him, you know, I've got this for you, I've got that for you. Stay here with me, you'll love it. It's so nice here. And it's really attractive. Then he gets to the final covering, the total material energy. Whoa. And Maya Devi herself practically says, stay here with me. And it's so attractive, the mass of energy has this wonderful sham-colored hue. And this, wow, this is really, something. But he keeps going. He's not going to be lured even by the total material energy. Or even by the Brahmajyoti, which is the next one up. That's the next layer that he has to go through, this wonderful effulgence that you could almost want to merge with. But he escapes that also. Yes?
Maharaj, I was just curious.
I never thought that even in our regular house is duplex, has a middle demarcation, like there's a middle wall, separate to separate the existence. Is there a demarcation or has a divider elements that separate each elements?
Is there a dividing layer like in a duplex we have walls between rooms? Is there a dividing layer between the layers? They're not mentioned. We have enough trouble just with the layers themselves. Yeah, border immigration officials, border patrols. That's not like the wall with Mexico or something. It's a lot more sophisticated.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
You know, hearing about the layers and how they get progressively 10 times larger, it's always startled me that the biggest one of all is false ego. And I was thinking how that example, it's really a good case for that our process is not an ascending process. But if we reach out for help, that Krishna can immediately pierce through all those coverings, which is quite incredible, isn't it?
Yeah. For us to struggle our way through all these layers is practically not possible. Mamamaya Duratya. But for Krishna to reach down through those layers and pick us up, that's easy business for him. Even Arjuna, when that was another traveling through the layers, when the sons of the Brahmin disappeared and Arjuna had to find them, then he couldn't do it, and therefore he was ready to immolate himself. But Krishna said, come on, get on my chariot. And they went traveling through all the different layers of the universe. So by Krishna's arrangement only, that was possible. Otherwise, who can do such things? Even they want to go to Mars, and how long does it take to go to Mars, and so on. That's just Mars. And here Krishna takes Arjuna all the way up to the spiritual sky. Anything else? Yes?
I was thinking, in Ramayana, I read
by Krittivas Uja.
You read about?
One Bengali Ramayana by Krittivas Uja. He's a translator of Ramayana in my childhood. I remember the Mahakalapuram, the last layer of this false
Mahakalapur.
Ego, Mahakalapuram. And he came to Lord Ram and he wanted to have a private discussion. And he said if anybody intervene in that private discussion, he will be finished. But Durvasa appeared there and he says, I have to meet the Lord Ram right now. I said, no, 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 there is a private meeting, it cannot be. He said, well, you have a one choice. Either this planet will be destroyed or you will be diminished. Of course, he knew Lakshman is also Vishnu Tattva. But somehow or other, the Lord Ram was intervened and he came out and then that's how Lakshman left before Ram. So my point was, like, it's interesting, it's just like our social gathering like this. In each layer, it looks like they have a personality, they have like their family, just like that. And I was thinking also, fifth canto, 26, at the end, there's a little appendix Prabhupada had. Like only in fifth canto, I found that there's extra. Okay. In Bhagavatam, fifth canto, after 26th chapter, there's an appendix Prabhupada give a little extra. There it says about that Mohini Murti is not in, there's no information of Rishabhdev and Mohini Murti in spiritual world so much there. So over there it says Mahakalapuram, where the, because it is Devidham, this material world, so the highest form of worship also Krishna, but in a female form. So that Mohini Murti is worshipped by Lord Shiva and Parvati in Mahakalapuram, where the false ego is predominating. So I was wondering, like, if there is a details depicted in each layer.
A detailed picture of each layer and what goes on there? No, it hasn't been Google mapped yet. We only have what's there in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, which is a brief outline, which really draws from Bhagavatam, from second canto, fifth canto. So I don't have more to tell you about the geography or the sociology of these places. Except that we're recommended that Nityamasukam Lokam, it's still no place for a gentleman. Even if you go to the highest or the most distant part of the universe, still Punarvartan Arjuna, it's temporary. And no use going and trying to stay. Not worth the research, you know, if you're going to stay someplace, you do all the research, the taxes, the schools, everything, because you want to stay there. But the material world, the research is done, it's unfit, no part of it is worth staying in. So better to research the geography of the spiritual world and the sociology, who lives there, what they do, what the dealings are. That will be unlimitedly blissful.
Something very interesting, Maharaj, I always remember your example when Srila Prabhupada was speaking in Delhi, that so aikata, so svijata, how these glands work. And you were acting.
How to?
How the glance of the Lord
works.
Creates everything. Mm. And the example you gave, that Prabhupada looked at you and you turned off the switch.
Oh, yeah.
Of the big. Can you narrate that story? It's so beautiful.
Like that,
easy to relate. In.
Yeah, this was the last Delhi Pandal program. It was just after the Mayapur Vrindavan festival. So it was getting quite hot. Hot season was coming on. And well attended, you know, big place. And, you know, the system is that they have a distinguished chief guest who speaks first. He may be a lawyer or a judge or a political leader, some distinguished person, author, speaks first. And then the Swamiji will speak. So that night it was a judge, and he was speaking, but it was hard to hear what he was saying because on the stage, the devotees were also sitting with Prabhupada on the stage. And on the stage, there was a big industrial fan because it's hot even in the evening. So the fan is going, and it's a, you know, 1970s Indian industrial fan, so it's going. So it was difficult to hear what the chief guest was saying. So Prabhupada was sitting on his asana, and he just glanced over in my direction. I happened to be sitting right next to the fan. So Prabhupada glanced over in my direction, and I immediately understood and pressed the button to turn off the fan. And then we could hear what the chief guest was saying. And it was all Mayavad. You know, we're all one, and you know, all the usual claptrap. And Prabhupada just looked in my direction again. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda ki jai, Gaur Premanande.
Jai Vaita Swami ki jai.